our study today, I want to ask you guys, how everybody feeling okay, kind of all right today? Okay, because our study today is going to be a big spanking, okay? So hopefully it'll be a fast study, but I think it's interesting, you guys are all by the door. So that's it's kind of interesting the way that worked out here. I'm surprised. Yeah, this is an interesting passage. It's one that you don't expect when you're coming through Deuteronomy and the Lord's trying to pump them up to go into the land. You think he'd be saying, come on, guys, you can do this and all this stuff, you know, but it gets a little bit rough in this section here. Well, in chapter 8 last time, we looked at this. One of the main things the Lord wanted to get across to this generation that was about to enter the promised land, remember it's the second generation, one of the main points was don't forget the Lord. All right, and the Lord warned them that one of the greatest dangers of prosperity for God's people, believe it or not, is a tendency to forget how you got there. So these people were about to become very prosperous overnight. As soon as they come into that land and they conquer the place, it is theirs. And they got all this stuff that was left behind by the people they conquered. So they're going to become pretty wealthy overnight. And the same thing for us today as we trusted Christ. You think this through spiritually for us. We became spiritually prosperous the very moment we trusted Christ. Extremely spiritually prosperous overnight, so to speak. We went from being spiritually dead, if you think about it, to becoming alive spiritually, born again. And at that very moment, we became a child of the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe. Okay? And as God's children, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every single one of them. Okay? That's pretty prosperous. All right? Spiritually, we became extremely wealthy from the Lord. And it was just an overnight thing, just in one moment there. Now, it's interesting to me also, in the same book in Ephesians, in chapter 2 of the New Testament, the Lord reminds the believers that we sure didn't make it becoming spiritually rich on our own, okay? At all, really, because God says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's very interesting. I noticed as I was going through the study here that this has a lot of almost mirror effect on the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, because Ephesians is talking about our spiritual prosperity and the warnings the Lord gives. I thought it was kind of interesting. Chapter 1, Ephesians, he says, you got all this stuff. And then chapter 2, he says, and I gave it to you. You didn't get it on your own. You didn't have anything to do with it other than you received it by faith. And it's a faith that God gave us too. When it says that not of yourselves, it's talking about not only grace but also faith. Both of them are a gift from God. So now in Deuteronomy chapter 9, the Lord is going to deal with another danger of instant prosperity and ongoing prosperity as you continue to live in that place, that state. And it's the danger of thinking we have been so very blessed because we deserve it. That's what I mean. This is kind of a tough passage because, well, we'll see as we get into it. If you look at chapter 9 down to verse 1, it says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven." And, you know, Lord's just using some exaggeration here because these people were really powerful. They were coming in to take their land. And these are some of the exaggerations they had heard too. Verse 2, it says, "A people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim," which were the giants there, "whom you know and of whom you heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak?" And those were the statements of the first spies who went into the land, and they came back with that bad testimony 40 years earlier. And the people heard these stories, and they said, "Oh, we can't go in there. You know, we're just like grasshoppers." So verse 3, "Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said to you." So the Lord is telling them here as they go into the land, and he's told us this before, but these are really good reminders and we get some great lessons from this stuff, that the Lord was going to do the toughest job. He was going to go into the land ahead of them. He was going to destroy the wicked people that were living in the land. And as he says here, he's going to bring them down. So he's going to bring them down to a point where the Israelites could finish them off. So I said, it's kind of like that picture I have in my mind is that boxing match where you've got this great big guy that goes in there and pulverizes the opponent. And then he has you come in, tag in, and you get to do the last couple punches and knock the guy out. And you know, and you get the guy's stuff after that. And that's kind of the picture, that God is going to go in there and he's going to work these people over and give the victory to his own children here and let them take part in that too. So he was assigning the Israelites the job of finishing them off. As God goes in and takes the strength out of these folks and wears them down, and then his people come in and they get to take the place, okay? And he said that here's their responsibility. Drive them out and destroy them quickly. Okay, now a couple things we notice from this. And I think we get some really good lessons here. First, the people are going to be working with the Lord. And this is really something we need to get here. So we see the sovereign power of God at work, all right? And we see the responsibility of the believer to obey the Lord and to do his part as well. This is so important for us to understand, because when God tells us what he expects us to do as his child and his father, as his follower, he expects us to obey when he gives us an order, okay? But he doesn't expect us to do it on our own, all right? We can't do it on our own. Remember, Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. All right? So God does, he expects us to obey, but to do that, he expects us to obey, trusting in his mighty power to do the work. All right? Adrian Rogers, he said something like this. He called this God plowing the way ahead of us. So God goes in and he does the work. He beats up the place. He tears up the ground. And he says, you go in and you finish the work there. And it's his power that's doing all that. So when we face those giants in our life, the descendants of the Anakim that come against us, God expects us to defeat them completely, okay? But we're not doing that alone. We're doing that trusting in his mighty power, okay? The Lord said this in Ephesians 6. Again, back to Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm amazed, like I said, the comparisons between Ephesians and what we're looking at in the chapter right here. So as we're facing these struggles and fighting the giants in our life, the question we ask is this: am I trusting in the mighty power of God to see victory in this area of my life? You know, and what God is doing. And if you're feeling overwhelmed when you think, man, these giants are big, you don't know how big this stuff is that's facing me, okay? Dig deeper in trusting the Lord, okay? Our God's amazing. I just thought about this week. I had to stop and pause for a moment and think. Our God created the entire universe. And as you go out and look at the stars at night, he placed every single one of them where they are, you know? If our God could do all that, why do we get concerned about anything in this life, right? We're just so, everything's so small and tiny compared to a God who can do those kind of things. And God says we can trust him and his power to do the work in our life. That's an amazing blessing from the Lord. Now, another thing we notice about this, the Lord told the Israelites to drive these people out, and he said, destroy them, and don't miss that little word, destroy them quickly. Okay? Now, the Lord's already said he's going to move these people out a little at a time, a little more, a little more, so the wild animals don't come in and kill everybody and have a problem there. So the Lord's going to do it in his perfect time. But as far as they're concerned, from their perspective, he said, you destroy them quickly. Okay? So the idea here is that you do it fast, you do it the right way, and do it right away, and don't put it off. Okay? So the lesson for us is get the sinful junk out of your life by the power of the Spirit, do it fast, do it right away, and don't put it off. Don't allow sin to linger in your life. Now, remember we talked about this before. We compare sin to that poisonous, deadly snake that you're going to bring into your home as a pet. And you don't think there'll ever be a problem with that, you know? And you hear stories of terrible things that have happened to people who have brought these extremely dangerous things like that into their homes. And they thought they could handle it. you know, or that stuff just happens to other people, won't happen to us. Man, don't be deceived by the enemy thinking, I know you got this thing going and it's no big deal. You can handle this. It's just small. It's not taking up much of your time. It's low in your life and it's not really a problem. And that's all lies from the enemy. Don't accept any of that. Remember this. Sin is no respecter of persons either. It's just as deadly for you as it is for the next guy. Okay? The sad thing in the story of the Israelites is that the people eventually said this, basically. That's too much work for us. We can't get all the people off land. That's just too much work. We'll just let some of these wicked people stay here. And man, did they pay the price for that. Yeah. So because they didn't obey the Lord, they suffered great loss. And they saw failure to see all the blessings God intended to give them. You know? And that's like us when we say, it's just too much work getting this sin and this wicked junk out of my life. I'm just going to let some of it stay. You know? Yeah, the Lord does not intend for that to happen. Yeah, and hopefully he encourages us as we go further in the Old Testament here that we got to keep going. You got to keep fighting. You can't give up. You've got to let the Lord work in your life and get all the junk out of there. Now, a question we have too, and maybe this has run through your mind as you looked at this. Why did God allow them to take part in the battles? Why didn't he just finish them off himself? You know, wouldn't that be nice? The Lord walks in and says, when you guys walk into this land, as soon as you step on there, I'm just going to wipe all these people out and they'll be gone. Okay, just go in and take everything. Yeah, why did the Lord not do that? Why did he'd start the process and he was fighting that? And then he brought him in to continue the fight and to see the victory. You know, he could have wiped him out. But one of the things God does in our lives is to train us to be like him. Okay, think about this. What was God doing in the promised land there as he's taking them in? He was destroying evil. That's what he was doing. So how are we supposed to be like God our Father? We're supposed to be destroying any evil that's in our lives. Okay, we're not taking human life. We're destroying the evil that's already in us. Anything that pops up. Okay, so one of the questions we ask is, are we busy doing that? Or are we neglecting junk in our lives that God is telling us, get that out of your life? You know? Yeah, this passage, to me, it's extremely powerful because the Lord just keeps pushing us on that, pushing us. Because our normal tendency is to just say, I'm tired of the fight. These people said that. We're tired of the fight. We'd just rather live with it than to fight until it's gone. Man, don't listen to that stuff. That is not of the Lord, okay? In our passage in chapter 9, verse 4, do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord has driven them out before you. So the Lord says, don't kid yourself here. I'm driving these people out because they're so wicked. It's not because you're such nice, great people that I'm bringing you into this land. Yeah, this is where it starts to hurt a little bit here. Verse 5, it is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Therefore understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Wow. Man, oh man. So, it's amazing here to me how straightforward the Lord has to be speaking to these people. And I think he has to say it that way. You know why? Because they are stiff-necked people. I think he has to be that direct to tell them, guys, do not think I'm doing this because you're so great or you're so righteous or you're so upright, because you're not. Man, aren't you glad God doesn't have to speak to us that way? Yeah, don't kid yourself again. The Lord tells us our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, okay? And he says, who can know it? Obviously, only God can know our heart. We deceive ourselves thinking we're better or we deserve more, you know? So here's the problem. When we get the idea that God blesses us because we're such good people and we naturally deserve his blessings, man, don't go there. Don't go there. You know, God blesses so much because he's a God who blesses, right? He loves us because He's a God who loves. Not because we earned it or deserved it or anything. That's just how good our God is. Now, notice what the Lord said to these folks here. That is some tough stuff. Basically, in verse 4, He said this. He says, you know, I'm driving these wicked people out of the land, and I'm taking you in there to do it. So He says, you're just my tool that I'm using, in verse 4. In case you get too high-minded, you're just a tool I'm going to use, okay? And I thank the Lord for these. I really do, because He puts us in our place, and we need to be put in our place, you know? I mean, I've thought this through before. I realize I'm just a tool God's using. He's just speaking through me, you know? I appreciate some of the kind words you folks tell me and say, you know, how the Lord's doing things. That's awesome. I praise the Lord for that. It's all the Lord, though, because I'm just a tool. He's just working through me. I'm so thankful for these reminders. That's nothing to do with us. It's what God's doing, what He's planning, what He's working, you know? It's all about what He's doing. Then in verse 6, He says this, verse 5, He says, I'm just doing this to keep a promise I made. He said, I promise this to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why I'm taking these people out of the land and bringing you into the land. So again, it's really not about you. It's about a promise I made to your forefathers that I'm doing this. Then in verse 6, He says this, as a matter of fact, you're just a bunch of stiff-necked people. Wow. Lord. Mercy sakes, that hurts. So don't think that God's done all this in your life, again, because you're so deserving of it. And man, I go, ouch, ouch, and ouch on those passages, right? I mean, do you ever remember as a kid when you were getting a spanking from your dad, how you were hoping that he was going to quit soon? You know what I mean? Like, wow, how many more of these? Ah, another one. Ah, it's like, man, I hope he's done soon, you know? And that's what I feel like. When the Lord takes us through this. It's like, do we need this, Lord? He says, yeah. You need this. We don't want to hear things like that God is saying here, but we need to hear Him so badly. Our society today teaches us and our children to point the finger of blame at everyone but ourselves. And that we're entitled to everything we get, you know. And as a matter of fact, we think we're entitled to even more than we're getting. But look what our society has become because of that. Our society, we're a bunch of ungrateful, un-God-fearing, un-God-respecting, arrogant, rude, having no respect for any authority of any kind, selfish, and the list goes on and on. And it ends with stiff-necked people. Wow. Lord, have mercy on us and help us to see ourselves as He sees us. People that can only be saved by God's mercy and God's grace. Because we have not one single thing to offer God to deserve any blessing from Him at all. Now, I know these things are hard to hear, but it humbles us so. You know, if we receive it the right way. And God said that He gives grace to the humble. So we certainly want to be in that place of grace. But we got to be humble to receive that. You know, but if a person doesn't receive this the right way, he can get upset over these things and he might say in his heart, well, I'm not like that. I am not stiff-necked. Well, if you're thinking that, or you have that idea in your head, you're just proving what God said to be true. Verse 7. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have rebelled against the Lord. And Lord says to remember and don't forget your consistent pattern of rebellion against Him. Now, aren't you glad that we're not consistently rebellious against the Lord? I mean, it's not like we sin every day of our lives in one way or another, having selfish thoughts or actions, right? So what is God talking about here? I mean, are you serious, Lord? Yeah. Well, I saw this on the internet. I think I told you guys this before. One guy said he doesn't attend Calvary Chapel anymore because they always remind him that he's a sinner. I imagine that guy doesn't like this chapter or a huge amount of the rest of Scripture also, because the Lord seems to want to remind us where we came from, you know? So we really appreciate His grace, and we don't get stuck in pride and give the devil an open door to work through us. Pride is one of the most wicked things that we can have, because it gives the devil a lot of room to work. That's his thing. He had pride, and that's what made him fall. So we thank the Lord for these passages, even though they hurt like crazy. Verse 8. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. Remember that? When he says, when I went up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. That's the Ten Commandments he gave. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a molded image. Unfortunately, our normal tendency is to turn aside quickly and to worship, spend most of our time on other things than the Lord. And that's one of the great things about that conference we just got back from, with the pastor's conference. We got to spend so much time focusing on the Lord. And He just fills you with such joy. You know? So awesome, because all the distractions are taken away. And it's just you having time to spend with the Lord, spending in fellowship with your brothers in Christ, and just a joyous time, you know? And then you come back home and you fight to get back to that mindset of keeping your focus on the Lord. Because it's hard, because there's so many distractions that are coming at you. You know, it's really hard to do that. But I just wanted to put a plug in there too, as I thought about this. If you get a chance this fall, there's a conference coming up in October, and it's open to anybody that wants to go. They call it a pastor's conference because a lot of the message are geared towards ministry, but it's open to anybody. And man, it's a time, again, to get away from all distractions and just get before the Lord and really hear from the Lord and have that great time of fellowship with Him and with brothers and sisters in Christ. So, man, those are awesome times, because the Lord just fills you with that joy as you had a chance to just get away from the world, you know, and just come before the Lord. It's really awesome. Now, you don't have to go to a conference to do that, obviously. Hopefully every day you start your day and end your day in getting away from the world and just having a few moments with the Lord, you know. It's just a great time if you get a chance to do it for a number of days in a row. Go on to verse 13. Furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed, they are a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So remember, the Lord promised Moses. He said, hey, if you want, I'll just wipe these people out. We'll start over with you. Yeah. So I turned and I came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. What an amazing description he gives. You can picture this taking place as he's coming down the mountain and he's got the covenant of God in his hands. Verse 16, and I looked and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God, had made for yourselves a molded calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. Then I took the two tablets and threw them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first. 40 days and 40 nights I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now obviously for Moses to be able to do these fasts, that was a supernatural thing. God strengthened him through all of that, because that is not physically possible to be able to do that, okay? But Moses was saying this is how heart-wrenching it was for him to see the folks that turned so quickly away from God when Moses is up on the mountain preparing a way for them. It's like the picture of Christ. He went to the cross, you know, and then to have to come back and see how quickly people turn away from his offer of grace. Wow, just so painful. Verse 19, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also. And this is an amazing picture again of Jesus' intercession for us. Because Moses interceded for those people. God was ready to take them out. And Moses prayed and he said, God, listen to my prayer. And that's why you're here. Wow. What a statement, huh? Verse 20, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron, who was going to be their high priest, and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron also at that same time. Then I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire, and crushed it, and ground it very small, until it was as fine as dust. And I threw its dust into the brook that descended from the mountain. And Moses very kindly left out the fact that he made them drink that too, you know. He didn't even bring that up there. I'm sure that was running through their minds of, oh yeah, I remember that, you know. But it's interesting. This makes you wonder as you look at this, how many times we have been frustrating for God to deal with us, you know. How important it is that Jesus is constantly interceding for us every day. We don't want to even think of the consequences that would happen to us if you weren't praying for us. You know, we praise God that He is. And as you know, as you look at this, hopefully you're feeling what I'm feeling. Are you feeling any fear of the Lord as you look at these things? You know, it's a good thing if you do. We need a good, healthy fear of the Lord. It keeps us in our place that He is God and we are not. Verse 22. Also at Terabah and Massa and Kibroth Hattaava, you provoke the Lord to wrath. And he's just listing the place after place after place. How would you like that? The Lord just to say, remember when you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, you know? And you think back to how many times we have failed the Lord personally ourselves since we came to Christ. We're not talking about before salvation, we're talking about after salvation, you know? And it's very humbling to think that the Lord's still hanging in there with us. Verse 23, likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you did not believe him nor obey his voice. You had been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Wow. These are the people God chose to work with, and these are the ones he chose to work through. Because if he didn't choose these kind of people, who would he choose? You know? We're told in the New Testament that before we come to Christ, we are enemies of God. We don't think that or know that before we're saved. I don't believe. I didn't know that. Maybe you did. I didn't. But the Bible tells us that we're rebellious against God. Until we come to Christ, we're against him. He's against us. You know, he loves us, but he's not blessing us because He is blessing everybody every single day with life and breath and lungs to breathe and everything else. But we're missing out on the blessing of eternal life until we come to Christ, you know. And the Lord has so much for people he wants to give them if they simply come to the Lord. But, you know, you look at these people as God gives this list against them of all the things he could go on to mention on and on. And you think, shame on these people having such a long history of rebellion against the Lord. And I was thinking, whoops, I think I was looking in the mirror. Verse 25. Thus, Moses says, I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. Therefore, I prayed to the Lord and I said, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Now, Moses did the only response that God's people need to do because of all of this. He prostrated himself, which means he fell down, and he prayed. That should be our response to these very painful words. You know, you think, oh, that our nation would let the painful words of the Lord drive them to their knees. Wow. Verse 27. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who the promise was made to, right? Do not look on the stubbornness of this people, or in their wickedness, or their sin. Thankfully, the Lord says He doesn't look at our sin once we come to Christ. He casts it away and He remembers it no more. Verse 28 says, lest the land from which you brought us should say, because, he's talking about Egypt there, because the Lord was not able to bring them to the land, the promised land, which He promised them, and because He hated them, He has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. And you know, I like what Moses was saying here, and we should do the same. You know, asking the Lord not to remember us, but to remember our Savior and the cross. Not to look at our wickedness or our sin. That's what he says in verse 27. And he says, not to let our thought should be not to let the world say that our God couldn't bless us and that He hates us and He wants to kill us. You know, verse 28, he said, don't let that Egypt have the opportunity to say these things, that their God just couldn't do it. Or their God hated them so much. That's why they died out there, because He just wanted to get them to a place where He could destroy them. And don't get that opportunity to the enemy. And then to remind the Lord, as though He needs us to remind Him about anything, that we are His people and His inheritance, and that He rescued us by the power of His hand. Well, hopefully we got through the spanking quickly today. I'm going to stop at this point. You know, and if you have spankings, like I said, if you've been there, you sure want them to go quick. Get this over with. Let us learn and let us go on where we should go. So, as we're closing, if there's anybody here who doesn't know Christ, man, I tell you, you need to know Jesus, first of all. You've got to come and believe in Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. He paid for every sin we have completely. He said, it is finished. And God raised Him from the dead. Our Savior is alive. God accepted His sacrifice on our behalf. And we praise Him and we thank Him for that. And if you're a believer today, hopefully the Lord has spoken to you. I know, like I said, to me this is a painful passage. Just to have to think back at the times when I didn't do everything God wanted. Wasn't always pleasing to Him. You read something in His Word and you say, maybe tomorrow I'll get to that, you know. Stuff like that. And it's painful. And our response should be prayer. You know, and we have some time. Like I said, we got done a little early today with the message and the spanking. But if you need time to pray, stay and pray. You know, you don't have to run off. If God's dealing with something in your heart, let Him deal with it. Let Him take care of that. Let's pray. Father, You are such a good God. You are so filled with mercy and so filled with grace. I thank You for Your word, Lord. I thank You for this spanking. Because I know You love us, Lord. I know this is a very tender work You have to do in our heart. Help us, Lord, not to be stiff-necked. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us to have good hearing that we can hear from You, Lord. And a good heart that we want to follow You. Father, I thank You for the folks that You brought here today. I pray, Lord, that every one of us receives this as we need to. Anything You're trying to work in our life, anything You're trying to strengthen us in, thank You, Lord, for the opportunities You give us. We want to praise You for that. Father, as we look forward to what You're going to do, I thank You for this time. I pray, Lord, You just fill us with the Spirit like never before. Use us in ways like never before. Help us, Lord, to follow You all the days of our life. And Lord, when we get off the path, I pray You just spank us back on the path again. Get us right where we need to be to follow You and find Your grace. Father, I thank You so much for all that You're doing. I just want to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory in the name of our very precious, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.